right, well, this morning we continue our teaching series entitled Prayer, Unlocking the Possibilities for Your Life. Last week we talked about praying and fasting for a breakthrough, and today we're going to explore how to pray a breakthrough prayer. You see, the fact is everyone needs some kind of breakthrough in their lives. I'm not sure where you need it, but we all need breakthroughs from time to time as we journey through life. Maybe we need a breakthrough with our finances. We might need a breakthrough in our job, in our marriage, in our relationships, or in our health, or discerning what God really wants to do with our lives. But the area in our life where a breakthrough is needed is that area that's not controllable. We can't control it. We can't manage it. We can't seem to navigate through it. And that's where we need a breakthrough. So today we're going to learn what the Bible teaches about how to pray for a breakthrough. And before we jump in with both feet, I want to share an excerpt from a book by Mark Batterson entitled If. And in this book, he shares the following. He writes, "Any given day, 23,000 scheduled flights take off and land at American airports. At any given time, 5,000 of those airplanes are simultaneously airborne. That means that approximately 1 million people are flying 300 miles per hour at 30,000 feet at any given moment. 100 years ago, this was the stuff of science fiction. Then two brothers, Wilbur and Orville, turned science fiction into science fact. The Wright brothers' dream of flying traces back to an autumn day in 1878 when their father, a bishop and founder of United Theological Seminary in Dayton, brought home a rather unique toy. Using a rubber band to twirl its rotor, a miniature bamboo helicopter flew into the air. Much like our mechanized toy helicopters, it broke after a few flights. But instead of giving up on it and going on to the next toy, the Wright brothers made their own. And the dream of flying was conceived. A quarter century later, on December 17, 1903, Orville himself went airborne for 12 gravity-defying seconds in the first powered piloted flight in history. It's almost impossible to imagine life as we know it today without airplanes. But like every innovation, every revolution, every breakthrough, someone had to imagine the impossible first. Every dream has a genesis moment. It usually starts small as a toy helicopter. But the chain reaction of faith defies gravity, defies the imagination. Without knowing it, the Wright brothers were creating the airline industry, the FAA and the TSA. I'm sure it never crossed their minds, but their flying faith is the reason why a million people are speeding through the troposphere right now. It was two pastors' kids, Wilbur and Orville, who punched your ticket with their possibility thinking. And possibility thinking is what's needed when we seek God for a breakthrough. When we're facing something we cannot control, we can't manage, and we can't navigate through, we seek the God who is full of possibilities for a breakthrough. So instead of looking at the uncontrollable in our life with pessimism for the future, this situation is too big, it's hopeless, nothing good will ever come out of this, there's no way or no way through, we embrace godly possibility thinking. We say, yes, this is big. This is huge, this is difficult, but God is always bigger. And we say, yes, I can't do this, I cannot manage this, I can't control this, I can't navigate through this, but God can, and God plus me is always enough. You see, that's godly possibility thinking. So this morning we're going to explore how to put godly possibility thinking into action by learning how to pray a breakthrough prayer. Now, important to note here is that a breakthrough prayer is different than any normal prayer. A normal prayer is saying, God, I need energy. God, I need strength. God, I need caffeine. God, help the Bengals. God, why don't the Buckeyes learn how to run the ball? You know, God, I need wisdom. Give Urban Meyer wisdom. You know, things like that. You see, we pray these kinds of prayers all the time. But breakthrough prayers are not for everyday use. Breakthrough prayers are when we have a crisis in our life that is truly uncontrollable. Breakthrough prayers are when everything is going bizarre. Everything's going crazy. Everything is going wrong, and there's not a darn thing we can do about it. Breakthrough prayers are when there's something beyond our scope. It's unknowable, it's unmanageable, and it's uncontrollable. In times like those, we need to know how to pray a breakthrough prayer. So if you brought a Bible or if you can pull one out, I encourage you to do so and follow along as together we take a look at how to pray a breakthrough prayer. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. Today we're going to take a look at one of the best examples of breakthrough prayer in the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This passage is about one of the kings of Judah, King Jehoshaphat. And here's the situation. Three enemy nations decide to tag team and come up against Jehoshaphat. And three enemy armies are coming against the nation of Judah. And because of this, Jehoshaphat knows he's going to get creamed. He's incredibly outnumbered. There's no way he can overpower 3-1 odds. And so he prays a breakthrough prayer. So how do we put godly possibility thinking into action in a breakthrough prayer? Well, King Jehoshaphat shows us how to do four important things. And here's the first. Focus on God. Focus on God. When we're in a crisis, it's natural to start saying, God, things are crazy. I'm in a crisis. And we start telling God all about the situation, all about the crisis, as if God doesn't know. But God always knows what's going on in our lives when we're in a crisis. We don't have to tell him. God knows. So we don't start our prayer by saying, God, here's my prayer. I need money. I need a spouse. I need a new job. I need to get out of bankruptcy. Wherever the crisis, I need healing. We start not on the problem or situation or crisis, but we focus on God. And what we do is exactly what King Jehoshaphat did. And there are four things Jehoshaphat teaches us just about focusing on God. First, he reminds us that we remind ourselves of God's greatness. When we're praying in a crisis, when we're praying for breakthrough, when we're praying for something that we cannot control, we don't focus on the issue at hand. We focus on God's greatness. Check out verse 6, 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Like Jehoshaphat, we focus on God's greatness. Then second, we remind ourselves of God's unlimited power. You see, when we realize that God has all the power in the world and we do not, then we can trust the mighty God we serve. In our prayer, we think of all the ways that God has helped us in the past, all the ways God has helped other people in the past, all the ways God has helped people in the Bible. And we go, Lord, remember when you did that? Father, remember when you did that? You had all the power to do whatever. Like you split the Red Sea and brought water to the thirsty people in the desert through a simple rock. And look at how Jehoshaphat prayed in verse 7. He says, "O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived?" Jehoshaphat is talking about the Exodus. He's reminding himself of how God miraculously led the people of Israel through the wilderness and finally to the promised land. So we remind ourselves of God's greatness and we remind ourselves of God's power. And here's the third thing we do in a breakthrough prayer. We remind God, not ourselves, of his promises. Now, that may sound kind of silly, but it's an important key. In our prayer, we say, "God, didn't you promise to help us? Didn't you promise to take care of us? Didn't you promise to meet all our needs according to the riches of your grace? Haven't you promised?" Check out how Jehoshaphat did that in the last part of verse 7. He said, "And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham?" In other words, Jehoshaphat is saying, "Hey, there are people coming, and they're not nice. They're after me. They're after Judah. And they want to take our land. And you promised it would be ours forever." Jehoshaphat is reminding God of his promises. And the fact is, God loves to be reminded of what he's promised. God loves to have his word quoted back to him. We say, "God, look, you said it right here. You said it right here. All I'm asking you to do is to keep your word. I'm your child. And Father, you said you'd do it." See, that's an important part of a breakthrough prayer. And so whatever our situation, whatever our challenge, we claim God's promises and ask God to help us and to keep his promise in our situation. Then finally, the fourth thing Jehoshaphat does is this. He asks God for a breakthrough. Let's go back to Jehoshaphat's prayer. Right before verse 12, Jehoshaphat reminds God that their enemies want to smite them. Their enemies want to destroy them. So in verse 12, he prays this. He says, "O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Now notice his prayer. He's very specific. "Oh, our God, won't you stop them?" He's very specific about what he wants God to do. "God," says Jehoshaphat, "here's the breakthrough I need." So do we know what we need to ask God? If we don't, God can't give it because we've got to know what it is we want God to do. We need to clarify, where do I need a breakthrough in my life? And we must never ask God, "Oh God, just bless my life." Now that's not a bad prayer, but it's incredibly general. It's very vague. I mean, how are we going to know if God did what we asked him to do? But when we say, "God, I need to find a way to get out of debt. God, I need healing for this particular thing. God, I need this relationship to be healed. I need this conflict in my family to end." That's measurable. That's specific. We'll know when that's happened. And so we ask God for specific breakthroughs in our lives. Now here's the second part of a breakthrough prayer. That was just all about focusing on God. Here's number two. We say, "I can't do this, God, but you can." Now, I know, simple enough. But this is the second thing we need to do when we pray a breakthrough prayer. We tell God, "I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's impossible for me. I'm powerless. It's hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't do this. I don't know a way through it. I give up. I can't. But I know you can." Remember Jehoshaphat's prayer. That's what he did. Listen again to verse 12. "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? breakthrough request. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. So Jehoshaphat admits to God that he can't fix the situation, but affirms on faith the reality that God can. So when praying a breakthrough prayer, we need to be up front with God. We need to pray, God, I feel powerless and helpless and hopeless. I have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and I cannot control this. I can't manage this. I cannot manipulate this. I cannot change this. I've been banging my head against the walls for weeks, months, years, maybe decades, and nothing is changing. Nothing is working. That's when we need a breakthrough prayer. We're powerless. We tell God it feels hopeless. And we admit our inability. It's beyond my control. And we admit, like Jehoshaphat, that we have no idea what to do or where to go or how to navigate through the situation. We confess to God that we can't change our situation while affirming that God can, because it's our faith that's going to make the difference. And that leads us to the third part. We listen to what God says. You see, when we're seeking God for a breakthrough, when we're praying our breakthrough prayer, we don't spend our whole time talking to God. We spend some time allowing God to talk to us through His Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 105 from the Message translation. It says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. The psalmist reminds us that God's book is the flashlight we need to guide us through life, and especially during those dark times when we're not sure where to turn, where to go, or how to move on. So we need to take time reading God's Word. When we do, God speaks to us. The fact is, the Bible is filled with everything that God wants to say to us. Everything God wants to say to you and me, He's already said, and it's in the Bible. A lot of times there are people who look for a sign from God. They'll say, I wish God would tell me what He wants me to do, or I wish God would write it in the sky somewhere. Well, friends, newsflash. God is not going to write anything in the sky because He's already written it in His book. So we need to stop looking for a sign and start looking for a scripture. We need to stop looking for a vision and start looking for a verse to direct us. God's will is in God's Word. And the more we read the Bible, the more we're going to know what to do. So we need to stand firm on the truth of God's Word. And here's the fourth step in a breakthrough prayer. The last one. We thank God in advance for the answer. We thank God in advance for the answer. So back to Jehoshaphat. And now we're going to check out verses 20 and 21. This is the best part. This is the best part. This is the best part that you're going to take home with you. This is it. So nudge someone, wake them up gently if they've fallen asleep, and say, hey, this is the best part. Here we go, all right? This is the best part. This is awesome. Here we go. Now check this out. The army of Judah is now on its way to battle. Now remember, they only have a third of the army as their oppressors coming towards them. Only a third. So here they go. They're going out to battle with far fewer men to fight. And this is what Jehoshaphat does. This is the best part. Early the next morning, he says, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Now, here we go. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers. to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. I can tell you're not that impressed, but think about this. This is awesome. I mean, this is awesome. King Jehoshaphat had the people of Judah thank God in advance for the victory God was about to bring. The odds are against them, one-third of the people. They're highly outnumbered. And so what does the king do? He puts the choir on the front line. Who here is in the choir? I didn't think so. Nobody wants to go to the front line. But imagine this. Small army, huge army, the choir. What? What? You want us to do what? Go on out front and sing God's praises because he's given us this. We know it. We're thanking him in advance. So imagine you're the opposing army. You're huge. Here comes this little army and what? What the? What is that, the choir? They're putting the choir in the front. What? They're singing, to God be the glory. How great thou art. Victory in Jesus. They must be crazy. Well, you know what? We serve a crazy God. And that crazy God of ours does crazy stuff. But he loves it when we thank him in advance. Because when we thank him in advance, we're putting our faith and the knowledge and hope that with God, all things are possible. So as we close this morning, I want to invite us all to make our pew or chair an altar of prayer. And before I pray for us today, let's ask ourselves, where do I need a breakthrough? Where do I need to put godly possibility thinking into action by seeking God for a breakthrough? And remember, when seeking a breakthrough, we need to pray a breakthrough prayer. We need to focus on God, remind ourselves of God's unlimited power, remind God of his promises to us, pray specifically for what we want God to do, admit that we cannot fix it, but God can, seek wisdom from God's word, and always show faith by thanking him in advance. There you go. So are we ready for a breakthrough? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm not sure where we all need a breakthrough right now, but I know we all need a breakthrough in some area of our lives. So, Father, help us focus on you, not the problem. Help us to remember your greatness and your power. God, you're great, you're strong. There's nothing too hard for you. You're all powerful. God, did you not help us in the past? Have you not made promises to us? Will you not do it again? So, Father, we're asking you for a breakthrough. We admit we're powerless. We can't change this thing on our own. But we know you can. Help us to listen to what you say in your word. And thank you, God, that this is your battle and you'll handle it. So we thank you in advance. We're going to stop begging you for the answer. And we're just going to start praising you and thanking you in advance. And if we're here today and we've never asked Jesus into our life, then I invite you just to say, Jesus, come into my heart and life. You be the manager of all the unmanageable things in my life. You be the CFO, the CEO, the chairman of the board of my life. I want to learn to trust you. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to have a friendship with you in the days ahead. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this morning, as we conclude our service of worship, we do so with the celebration of the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as is our tradition, we always serve what we call an open table, which means all are welcome to come and share in this holy meal. The only requisite anyone ever has is simply a desire to be a follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. We celebrate communion by what we call intinction, which simply means that as you come forward, bread will be offered. Take a nice piece of bread, go to the cup, dip the bread in the cup, and eat it at that time. When it's time to receive communion, the ushers will dismiss us beginning from the back. You're invited to come forward by the side, by the center aisle, and back to your seats by the side aisle. If after you receive communion, you would like to have prayer for yourself or for others that you know. Pastor Paul and our lay leader Bud Muir be happy to pray for you. They'll be off to the sides. Please feel free to go to them, and they'll be happy to pray with you and for you this morning. If you're not able to come forward, alert those around you, the ushers. They'll let our communion servers know who'll be happy to come to you so that you might receive communion in your seat today. So we remember now that day some 2,000 years ago, Jesus invited his disciples to gather in an upper room. It was Thursday night. It was Passover week. They gathered to celebrate the Passover meal. The next day, Friday, he would give his life on the cross between two thieves. So as they reclined at table, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this often in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often in remembrance of me." We do this often in remembrance of him because Jesus said so. So when we share in the bread, when we take of the cup, we remember the body broken, the blood shed. We remember God's amazing grace revealed through his Son and available to all. We remember the life offered and the life we owe in return. We remember that the one who gave himself is ready to walk through whatever challenge, difficulty, or storm we're facing, because with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy meal you prepared for us, reminder of your love and grace to us all. Send forth your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. May these gifts be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that having shared in this meal, we might go forth from this place as your body redeemed by your blood. Continue to guide and direct us. Continue to make us one, Father, so that you might continue to work through us to be a blessing to others. In your name we pray. Amen.